Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout. Hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes down. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace is gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying
what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
On keeping on, whatever doesn't kill you makes you strong. Welcome to American Sovereignty Radio, folks. We are all here tonight. Jennifer Monsoe's down in Alabama. Dan Wilson down in the number two state of Florida. Gary Rimmer up there in North Dakota. And I, Scott Osborne, I'm not in Texas, folks. I'm in California. I know. I will be going back to Texas very, very soon, this next Saturday. I came out here to visit with my aunt and my cousins for a couple of weeks around Thanksgiving. And I'm going to tell you, we'll talk about it in a little bit in a minute, but boy, do I remember why I love living in Texas. They've legalized marijuana and criminalized plastic bags at grocery stores. But we are going to have a great time tonight, folks. We're going to have a lot to discuss. I'm not going to be here the full amount of time. Aunt Kathy and I are sitting in there enjoying each other's company. I don't get to do that very often. But we did want to make sure that after the last couple of weeks that I was here for at least some of the show. But so exciting to have all of us with us. Gary's been out, man. I'll tell you, Gary's up there in North Dakota working very, very hard and long hours and hasn't been able to be here with us the last few weeks. Glad to have him back on Tuesday night with us. Jennifer Montrose as well has been down there working really, really hard. She, man, trying to keep up with her is crazy. She's doing a lot of investigation into Pizzagate. Sure, she will have some things to say about that tonight. And Dan Wilson down there in Florida, just trying to get Florida to be the number one state. And I know he's working really hard on that. It's never going to happen. We're all going to have a great time tonight. Lots of things going on in the world. Man, we've got to give a shout-out to the people of Tennessee and Gatlinburg. A lot of prayers out there for those people. It is incredible to go through a wildfire. Living in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas for so many years, I've been close to quite a few wildfires. We do have in the Sierra Nevadas from time to time some pretty big wildfires. And a lot of times, you know, wildfire go on and it just destroys a bunch of a forest and maybe a few buildings. But if you've ever been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Pigeon Forge, where Dollywood is, you know that there is a building in every nook and cranny up there in those mountains. And there's a lot of destruction going along on right now, a lot of people losing their homes, a lot of people losing their businesses. There is a lot of cabin rental up there, Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg being a big vacation tourist stop. I spent New Year's Eve there about 20 years ago, towards the end of the 90s, and I was amazed at how much is actually up there. It was incredible. It was almost like a Las Vegas crowd in the middle of a small mountain community, and there's a lot up there, folks, and so we want to keep those people up there in our prayers. The people of Tennessee, and pray for more rain. There's supposed to be more rain coming, which will help. And of course, our first responders who are up there risking their lives to help try and protect those people, to help protect the properties, and trying to put that fire out. So we want to keep them most part in mind. Lots of things going on in politics. We got the month of December coming, and then we got January. We're going to see a different direction in our government. Excited about that. Got issues back and forth, but we're excited about that. Excited to see Hillary Clinton go goodbye into the world of no more politics. Excited to see what's going to happen with Donald Trump. He still does things that I worry about, let me tell you. Sometimes, and I get a lot of people saying, you know, you can go watch. He says doesn't always say what he means. Well, but that's the position of the bully pulpit of the presidency. So I hope those people around him, Newt Gingrich came out and smacked him later this evening, and I'm hoping by the time we get to January 20th, enough people are going to sit down and say, you've got to start watching what you say. But it's going to be definitely a different direction we're going in. I'll tell you, I'm already seeing the benefits of the change in direction here in Southern California. I'm telling you, folks, this is the most spending Christmas season I have seen in a long time. People are all over the roads. The stores are packed. People are spending a lot of money, and that only comes when full confidence comes that the economy is going to continue to grow. So we're excited about that. Dan asked me a couple of weeks ago we were going to do this, to say a prayer for our new upcoming president in our country. We're going to do that. Then I'm going to go ahead and pass it around a little bit, let you guys go, and then I'll jump in back in a little bit. But we're going to do that. We don't always do a lot of praying on this network. I'm a firm believer that prayer is a personal thing. But there is a time when it is appropriate to pray for our nation. And so I ask all of our listeners to bow with me and put our minds on the things of the Lord. You know, our country was founded with the concept that there is a creator. Now, some different denominations define that creator in different ways, but one thing I think we're all in agreement is that there had to be a creator In order to have what we have, it couldn't have just started with a single spark of life somewhere and ended up with the intricacy of life that we have today. So we've got a creator, and man, he's given us some standards, and we want our country to continue to bear by those standards. So we ask that we our country continues to go forward in the blessedness that it has up until this point. We are so blessed, folks. Even though the last 8 years have been kind of rough, the economy hasn't always been the best, we've still been blessed through the whole thing. We live in a standard of living that is absolutely unheard of in the rest of the world today or throughout history. In fact, some of our people that are in the lower elements of income in this country are living better today than kings of the past. They've got a better standard living than the kings of the past. So we want to always appreciate that. So if you will with me, let's join in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've given us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this great country that we are so blessed to be a part of and to live in and to enjoy the fruits of what it provides us. Heavenly Father, we live in unprecedented freedom. We live in unprecedented safety. We live in unprecedented freedom of religion and freedom of speech. We just live in a situation that in the history of the world since the beginning of man has never existed before. And Heavenly Father, we know that our founding fathers almost 250 years ago gave us the seeds of what we benefit today, Heavenly Father. And we know as political decisions go down the line as we go through the years, can either stray from those or they can go towards those, Heavenly Father. And we know because of principles, we know because of history, we know because of your word, that as long as we continue in the direction of freedom and that man and our country are going to continue to enjoy these blessings. Heavenly Father, I ask that you help this country to understand the importance of its standards, of morality, Heavenly Father, of doing things your way. I ask that you help our people to understand the importance of putting you first and worshiping you. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where people have a hard time giving God even an hour on Sunday morning. I ask and I beg and plead with you, Heavenly Father, help the country to understand the importance of giving you more than that. I ask you to help our country to understand the importance of reading your word, Heavenly Father, instead of listening to somebody else. So many things, and these are all your principles, Heavenly Father. I ask that you help our country to turn around and head back toward you instead of away from you. Heavenly Father, we've got a new president who's going to be coming up, and I ask that you be with Donald Trump. I ask you to be with those who have surrounded him. I ask that you help him to understand the importance of not just the Constitution, but of your word and the things that go with it. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless him. I ask that you put a heavy hand on him, especially when it comes to our freedom of religion and our ability to worship and our ability to have your purposes and your portrait on our public square, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with all of our leaders, Heavenly Father, on both sides. That they understand the importance of some of the basic principles that you lay out that always guarantee success. Heavenly Father, as we go into this next year, we ask that you be with this new administration, all of these people that he's placing together. We ask that you be with him, Donald Trump, as he works with Congress, that they will find agreement in things that they do. We ask that you help, please, Heavenly Father, him to remove some of the things that are detrimental to the future of this country, Obamacare and Common Core, and that you help him to understand the importance of continuing to draw down the size of the federal government and to shift that power back to the states. Because we know that not only, Heavenly Father, it purposes your will, but purposes our freedom as well, which continues our ability to follow you and to worship you and to teach your word in the public venue. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with our local and our state governments, Heavenly Father. We've seen in many places where there has been a turning tide towards more conservative and biblical principles, and men and women who have you as the center of their lives, Heavenly Father. We ask that you be with them as they fight against those, Heavenly Father, who would like to remove you from the public square. That is a huge fight that we fight. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue for many generations to give our country the unprecedented freedom that we have had to speak our minds, to worship as you would see fit, to live our lives without interference from the government. Heavenly Father, we ask that we continue throughout the generations to have an economic prosperity so that we don't end up in a situation like this great country did in the 30s, where people were starving and people really just didn't have anything. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to be with our leaders and give them the wisdom to guide this great ship into the continued economic prosperity. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with our churches. We ask that you be with those in our pulpits, that they will continue to get up and preach your truths, Heavenly Father. And we see a lot of churches that are the pulpit ministers and the preachers are preaching pablum or they're preaching philosophy, Heavenly Father. We ask that you help the leaders of our churches to get back to your word. And back to your basic truths, Heavenly Father, because we know that's where the growth is provided. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with this younger generation. They are so entitled and they are so misled by many, many different ideologies. We ask that you continue to help us in the fight to regain our schools so that we stop that. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with those that are out causing damage at this time in their protests, that they understand that that's not the direction that we want to go with this country. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Dan and Jennifer and Gary and I as we live our daily lives. Heavenly Father, help us to continue to be an effect on people throughout our different ways of reaching out, whether it be Blog Talk Radio or Facebook or our writing, Heavenly Father, as well as our individual influence on those that are around us in our immediate family and our immediate friends. Heavenly Father, I ask a special prayer on my good friend Jonathan, Heavenly Father, that we continue to go forward with finding some solutions to his problems, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I also ask that you help get me back to Texas safely, Heavenly Father, this next weekend, as I will be traveling and just be with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that your Son made on that cross. Heavenly Father, it is so important to us when we follow your plan of salvation that is the centerpiece in our understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for so many blessings that we have. I don't think we thank you enough, and I ask that you help our country to understand and recognize the concept of counting our blessings as we go forward. When we count our blessings and realize just how blessed you are, I think it solves a lot of problems along the way. So help our country to understand that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just being you, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have here on Blog Talk Radio to reach out. And I thank you for our friendships, Heavenly Father. We are a family. As sometimes we disagree, but Heavenly Father, we love each other, all the four of us, on this show very, very greatly. And I thank you for those connections and those friendships. Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch over each one of us individually. We ask that you forgive us of our many, many wrongs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And with that, folks, we are going to, man, I'm going to tell you, Dan, Jennifer, Gary, it's been a crazy 2 years. It really has. And it's going to continue to be crazy. I'll tell you what I've been telling everybody. the next few months is definitely not going to be boring. But one thing for sure, and I'm going to start out this conversation. We had this conversation last night on Conover U. And I think this is a big portion, because you can leave out, you know, Donald Trump says dumb things sometimes. You can leave all that out. You can leave out laws and regulations and what he's going to accomplish. We as Keynes supporters understood the concept of taxes and the influence on business and entrepreneurship. When a businessman is not confident in where things are going, he doesn't invest. He doesn't hire. And that's a basic concept that applies to the economy as a whole. Barack Obama's approval ratings right now are the highest he's ever had, and it's not because Barack Obama's been doing anything to raise his approval ratings, that's for sure. But what it has to do, and this happens, this is just one of those things that happens during an election cycle, when the person in office is not running. People have been paying attention for 2 years now, and especially this year, to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the presidential election, and Barack Obama's been kind of put on the back burner. Well, there has been a side help. What's the word I'm looking for? There's been a side piece to this that has been really helped us. And I've watched over the last 6 months, I've watched our economy get better. And it's not because anything's changed with what he does, but the fact that he's not first and foremost in our faces, I believe has given a lot of businesses, especially mom and pop businesses, a little bit more confidence. I've seen over the last few months in the housing market, housing prices are starting to go up. And again, it's not because of Barack Obama's policies. I believe it's because we haven't seen him much. He's been kind of in the background. But I saw, and I've seen over the last week and a half that I've been here in Southern California, and I've been going to the mall, and we've been going to stores, we've been going to out to eat a lot. I'm seeing a mentality among people that is a little bit more confident than we've had in a long time. And I believe that's going to continue throughout this year. I believe as much as many people on the left can't stand Barack Obama, there's that big, huge group in the middle that all they were worried about is how things are going. And people are spending an insane amount of money right now, and you only do that when you've got some confidence going forward. And we're seeing businesses hire. I know especially, of course, I live in Texas, where our economy has been thriving for a long time, but there are help wanted signs on almost every single window in the mall. There are help wanted signs everywhere, and that means people are hiring. We are seeing what I believe is going to be a unprecedented, especially if Donald Trump does what he says he's going to do, and he deregulates a bunch of stuff, he takes the foot of the federal government off of the neck of entrepreneurship and business, especially if he lowers that corporate tax rate and creates a job magnet. We've already seen some big companies saying they're going to bring their jobs back to the United States. We've already seen some say we're not going to take them to Mexico or someplace else like we're going to. I have a funny feeling, and I believe, Dan and Jennifer and Gary, that going forward, we're going to see unprecedented growth this year. Now, that growth, how big it is going to depend on Donald Trump and how much he actually does. But a lot of that growth is also going to come from the basic confidence that comes from businessmen when they're willing to invest back in their companies and they're willing to hire. The more they hire, the more money goes out into the economy. The more money goes out into the economy, the more people spend. The more money they spend, the more it goes into the coffers. That's Reaganomics. Now, the left's going to tell you it doesn't work. Well, yeah, it's been working a long time before Ronald Reagan. That's just basic market principles. But I'm a firm believer, and Dan, I'm going to pass it to you and let you run it around. Run it around a couple of times, and then I'll jump back in. I'm going to go sit with Aunt Kathy for a little bit after I pass it to you. But I believe, because of basic understanding of economics 101, that we're getting ready to go into some unprecedented peacetime prosperity. And it's going to be really interesting what our conversation is about the economy this time next year when I'm out in California with my aunt for Thanksgiving. So with that, Dan Wilson, I'm going to pass it to you. You take it and run with it for a little while. Go around the round table a couple of times. Leave me out, and then I'll jump back in here in another 45 minutes or so.
Okay. I agree with you 100%. And if there's one thing we can be sure of, is Trump is going to do everything he can for our economy. He's a businessman, and he has a business, whether he sells it off to his children or not, it's still his baby. So he wants to see it thrive. And the best way to do that is to make the nation thrive. And he also made a promise, and Trump is known. He may stick his foot in his mouth a lot, but he is known for keeping his word. And with that, you're going to see unprecedented growth in the inner cities. You're going to see unprecedented growth of the middle class we haven't seen since Ronald Reagan. And it will probably supersede what he did because Trump is going to hit everything. And I really believe that with all my heart. And with the Senate and the Congress on his side, he'll have no trouble pushing it all through. And that's what's that's what counts. And he also has plans for cleaning up the tax code that nobody can understand and make it much easier for everybody. And this is going to help our country thrive beyond anything we've seen in our lives. And I praise God for that because it's long overdue and it sure as heck are going to help my trust, I'll tell you that much. haven't seen it yet, but I know it'll help it a lot. So I'm happy there. And it's really nice to see that the country finally has a chance. You know, we've been living under a socialist nightmare for 8 years, more than that, almost two decades, really. You know, since Reagan left office, it's been on a slow slide to socialism. And praise God, we're going in the right direction, finally. And it's showing in the stock market. Because there's finally belief again. There's hope. And that's a big, big thing. And I'm hoping that will really make some changes and get us back on course. And Trump has a lot of cleaning up to do. Obama's passing a million executive orders before he leaves to try to make things harder. So Trump is going to have a dust squall on day one, I'll tell you that much. But I'm sure we can accomplish it and put an end to this liberal reign of terror that we've lived under. But it sure looks good that, you know, 90% of the country now is red. And I'm really, really happy about that. And one other thing I'd like to change subject a little bit is, you know, as every 4 years we have this discussion about flag burning. And it goes on and on, and the Supreme Court is right that it is protected under the First Amendment. But we can make a change of that. If we all get together and put enough pressure on our legislators and get them to submit a bill to make desecrating our flag illegal and put like a maximum imprisonment of 1 year or a maximum fine of $10,000 or something like that, then we can get people to stop doing it. Because everybody I talk to, and this goes to both parties, all but the extreme left hate seeing that happen. And I know it just irks the heck out of me when I see that happening. And I sure would like to see that put to an end. So if we create an amendment and make it, you know, a constitutional issue, then we can stop that practice. Because our flag means far more than the symbol of our nation, and we all know that. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Jennifer. How's everything in Alabama?
Well, we've been battling NOAA weather radar possibilities for tornadoes and thunderstorm warnings and all that stuff. But so far, where I am, it's not happening where I am. About an hour from me, there was some indicators on the radar, but so far, everything's pretty good. Lots of people are gearing up in Alabama to go to the inauguration ceremony in Washington for January the 20th. So people have been busy trying to secure their tickets and stuff, contacting their congressional representatives and such. But the fires have been a big deal. We've been in over 60 days worth of no rain. We got our first bout of rain yesterday. Day before it was, but not enough to put out all the fires, but just enough to get a damper on it. Been following what's been going on with the drought. A lot of people are losing their well water and stuff as a result of it. It's pretty bad. So we're hoping that things will take a turn for the better. And just keeping our prayers for those in Tennessee around Gatlinburg that have lost their homes. We have a lot of people in Alabama because, you know, Alabama's, a lot of people are like five hours away from Gatlinburg. So we have a lot of, you know, people that own cabins up there for rental property, and it's just totally in flames. So, but other than that, things are looking up. I've been following a lot on the Podesta emails, the what some people call hashtag Pizzagate, hashtag Twittergate, hashtag Little Lives Matter. It's a pretty significant amount of damaging evidence. We'll talk about that the next go around. But I tell you what, it sure is nice to see the economy on the upswing, seeing the stock market going up. And we're seeing the effects of that across the United States as well as internationally as well. So how are things with Gary?
Well, things are going pretty good. They're going pretty good. We were supposed to get a blizzard tonight, but looks like that's going to go south of us now. So we might still get an inch of snow, but I can live with that. We were supposed to get just tons of snow. And my sister called me, I suppose an hour and a half ago, and she said it was blizzarding in Bismarck. And that's about 100 miles away from us, so it's pretty close. And at least we're escaping the heavy snow and stuff like that. We're getting a little rain, but I can live with the rain. As long as it doesn't get frozen, you know, get ice all over everything, because when my older age there, I falling down on ice hurts more and more every year. You know, the bones get a little harder and a little more brittle, and When you land on your rump when you slip and fall, it gets a little more painful. But hopefully it doesn't do that, and you know, then I'll be all set. But I agree with both you guys. I was listening to Dan on his flag burning thing, and I agree there. I even like to go farther than that. I figure if they hate our country, Right, we export them. You know, get them out of the country. They can renounce their citizenship, you know, if they hate our country, and then they can live in their socialist utopia. And I use parentheses around utopia because there's no such thing, but they can live in that, you know. People for so many years, they had freedom for so many years. A lot of people take it for granted. They really don't think it could ever happen here. It could be taken away. And we were very close with this last election, because if Hillary would have won, I'm afraid that it would have been too late to really turn back, because she would have done everything she can to destroy our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. And I'm very thankful to God that that didn't happen. And I pray for Donald Trump. You know, I also pray for his safety, because I know there's a lot of angry people out there, and some of them want to do harm to him if they could, and I don't want to see that ever happen. I don't want to see it happen to any candidate or any politician, no matter what side of the aisle they're on, because us as conservatives, we don't believe in violence. That's why we vote. We believe in voting, and we also believe in the rule of law. You know, if they break the law, yes, then they should be prosecuted, but that's a legal process, you know. But we don't want anyone to take the law in their own hands and decide to harm somebody or assassinate somebody, because that's not America. That sounds like some foreign country that has no laws. So, but I am very, very happy what happened to with our election. And like I said, I pray he does the right thing, and I think he will. He's listened to the people. He knows that we're all suffering out here, and he's going to do what he can. He's going to do it lawfully. And, of course, with these all these executive orders, he's going to have a busy time rescinding all them, as he should, because they're all illegal anyway. And I'm also happy because he's going to put strict constitutionalists in our Supreme Court. There's going to be at least one, but I think there's going to be at least two more after that, because some of them are getting pretty old, and we're going to have a pretty conservative Supreme Court, or one that actually a constitutional Supreme Court that obeys and respects the Constitution. That's their job, not to write laws. The laws are to be written by Congress, not Supreme Court or the President. That's where it lies, because the Congress answers to us, especially the House of Representatives, because they're the ones that answer to us every 2 years. And that's why it's set up that way. So if they do something we don't like, 2 years later, we can vote them out of power. And I guess that's my opening statement, so I'll pass this back to Dan.
Okay. So temperatures haven't been too bad up there, Gary?
Well, it's getting colder. You know, but it isn't real bad. It's actually, we had a pretty mild fall. And by the way, we're all done working over at the farm now for a while till next spring. So I got a couple of months there I can enjoy calling in and visiting with you guys every week. And by the way, I'm just going to leave this note before I turn it over to you. I got a hold of, we got Kimber Eastwood. This is Clint Eastwood's daughter. She's going to come on Saturday's symposium. We got a hold of her, and this time she forgets. She gave me a phone number so I can get a hold of her. So anyway, I'll turn this back over to you, Dan.
Okay. Yeah, I goofed up on the setup for the show, so everybody has to listen in archives, and I apologize for that. I forgot to set the time. Oops. So pray to God that Margaret doesn't come in and turn us off. But, you know, things are going to go, are going to be going, turning for the better. And it feels so much better to not be worrying, you know, every 5 minutes and, you know, worrying about whether or not, you know, the Wicked Witch is going to come back. And I think she's finally gone. And good riddance. And I hope the door don't hit her in the butt on the way out. Because, but she's trying still. She's trying to pull off this hogwash about, you know, the votes. You know, they haven't figured out the Democratic Party hasn't figured out that, you know, they blew it. And if they don't change their ways, just like the Republican Party, we have we have been dealing with it, you know, for some time now, and we have to change things around. And I think finally Donald Trump is finally turning things around for us. And it's nice. I mean, it's nice knowing that there's somebody on our side finally listening to us. You know, we've gone so many years when our politicians have been more worried about filling their pockets than doing what is right for the country. And, you know, Donald's definitely an outsider. He's a quick learner. He's sounding more presidential by the day. But when you tick him off, he picks up his phone and starts tweeting and doing a little ranting and a raving that he needs to kind of back off on. But nothing else. I think it's kind of comical. So it doesn't really bother me. But the people he's bringing in within his cabinet are really top-notch, and I'm really happy to see that. So we're getting there, and I think he is, you know, surrounding himself by the proper people, and with that, he'll have the right leadership to advise him, and that's the most important thing. Being a successful businessman, he knows what it means to listen to your advisors. He doesn't always take your suggestions, but it's there in his mind. He's a very brilliant man, and he knows intuitively what is right. So I'm really, really happy with that. And Jennifer, I'm praying to God that the thunderstorms move through so you get more rain without the tornado part. I think we all can do without them, and especially this late in the year. Surprise. You know, you never hear about tornadoes in November or, you know, really almost December tomorrow. Or a day after tomorrow. So a winter tornado is weird over there. That's when we get them over here in Florida. We'll get our Category 0, 1, or 2s. Usually they're never anything big. Just enough to make a mess. But just a couple of years ago, just before Christmas, matter of fact, the day I was driving down to my dad's, which was the day before Christmas, I missed a tornado by less than 5 minutes. I drove through. It came right behind me. And I was plenty close enough. It bent the goal post on a football field and went through a job site and made a mess, but beyond that, it didn't do too much, but, you know, even the small ones, you don't really want to go through. So with that, I'll be praying for you, Jennifer, and as I said, hopefully you get thunderstorm, but not the tornado. So passing it over to you.
Yeah, we can definitely use the rain. I just don't want torrential mass flooding and thunderstorms, you know, like the stuff that brings tornadoes through. But yeah, you know, we've seen a lot this election cycle, and we also know that with the recount that Hillary got in on, with Jill Stein. You know, that it's they're not done. The fact that they are going to grasp at every straw they can to prevent Trump from getting into office, because he said he was going to drain the swamp, and I believe it. I mean, the economy is going up. The plantation owners and operators are not happy that you know, and they're the thing that really concerns me with Podestagate is there's so many skeletons in the closet in D.C. Look at the Franklin case with a few. You might remember this, Dan and Gary. I think it was during the Reagan administration. Yeah, and Larry King, the black Republican, and they had Boys Town. Now we're finding out that there's a lot more coming out with the Podestagate. They got this pizza place up there in D.C. It's called Pizza Ping Pong. The guy that owns it, runs it, they've had quite a few fundraising efforts for Hillary there, as well as for our divider in chief. And there's been some questionable artwork that was on the walls there, pretty bizarre artwork. When they went and reinvestigated the WikiLeaks emails, the Podesta collection of emails, some of the wording in the emails were kind of crazy and didn't make sense. I mean, you know, when you're talking about extra cheese and pizza and hot dogs and walnuts and just the way that the wording was and the sentences were, questions were asked, it just nothing made sense. And then we began to understand that all the businesses right there on the same block, same street, across the street of this pizza place in D.C. had symbolism in their marquees that directly related to identifying with pedophiles. So now we find that there's a massive sex trafficking ring going on in the United States as well as international. We knew that there was things like this going on in India, but right here in your back door, here in the United States, you know, and now we understand when they put the faces of the children on the milk cartons what that means. And there's just too many coincidental stuff. When you connect the dots between one person's profile picture on social media and then you connect that dot back to the Podesta emails with the WikiLeaks and then you look at all the various images, what, you know, talking about pizza and little infant babies that have, you know, wads of, you know, money laying on top of them and, you know, just various code words and stuff. It's just crazy. It's really sad. But to think that here we are, we have a guy who's been elected for president. He's our president-elect, Donald Trump, talks about wanting to drain the swamp. And what we're finding is this is not just a Democratic situation. This is Democrats, Republicans. There's so many people that have been blackmailed and are involved in this across the aisles. It's sad. And the thing is that the children, regardless of their age, whether they be infant babies, and now we know that's why Hillary was so supportive of late-term abortion because of the hashtag spirit cooking. A lot of mention about satanic worship and stuff in some of the stuff that we've been uncovering and whatnot. So believe what you will. The facts are out there. Do your own investigative work. WikiLeaks, we have to thank Assange for that because it did expose a lot. And I'm really looking forward to the next 4 years with Trump in office, I think there's going to be a lot. We're going to see an awful lot. And we've already seen, look at the stock market. We've already seen what's happened with the stock market. And it's going to keep going up. Lots of people are seeing the benefits of it. And, you know, we've always been a nation where, you know, people want to swim this way when they're coming to America, not the other way. And anybody that wants to make all these, you know, sad comments about, talk about, you know, Fidel Castro and his recent death, you know, we have no loss in that. If anything, I mean, you know, you've got a lot of Cubans down in Miami that are celebrating, and I can understand why. But anybody that wants to mourn his death, I'm like, you know, I don't get it. I think you can look at history and see exactly what kind of man he was. And look at that poor nation. Cuba is, you know, when you talk about why people are doing all they can to try to escape and come this direction. And, we, you know, we are free people. We don't want to lose our freedom. And that is, you know, one of the reasons why the left has been so adamant about trying to take our freedoms away. Look at what happened in Ohio the other day. And he used a knife and a vehicle to kill, steal, and destroy. Not, and they wanted to say a shooter on the loose. What gun? The terrorist did not have a gun. He used a vehicle, a car, and a knife to stab people with. But the blessing is there was a soldier that was a student there, and they were in a classroom, and there was one of the students put a post out on social media and said that there were a couple of soldiers that were there in that classroom that were students, and they said that they let it be known that if that criminal, that terrorist, comes to the door, that they were going to be the first, the soldiers were going to be the first people that he laid eyes on, because they were going to do everything they could to protect the free people that were, you know, all the students that were in that classroom. And you see, this is another reason why I'm very solid advocate, proponent of, you know, student campus carry. I think students need to be able to protect themselves as well as teachers, anybody that's on campus. They're just hotbeds for criminals to come in and just do all kinds of stuff, you know, to harm us. So with that, and Gary, I know you've been with that weather that you got up there with all the snow and the blizzards and stuff. You know, it's definitely. Hopefully, we're going to see an upswing with what's going on. I've been wondering about the you know, what the weather's going to be like with all the topsy turvy, you know, drought that we've had here. I'm not sure what it's going to be like up there with you, but
yeah, it's unpredictable because, like I said, 4 or 5 days ago, they were predicting 8 inches of snow, and now it's less than an inch. So it can change overnight, you know. So, and I'm glad you're safe there too, Jennifer. My prayers are with you, and I hope we stay safe. And I don't know what the temperature is like down there. I mean, I've never been down there, but I don't know what it's like at this time of the year, but I'm sure it's still pretty warm. But we're supposed to get down to, well, I think it's supposed to get around close to zero, you know, about 12, 10 above, and then a couple more days down to about 3 or 4 above. So it's going to get cold, but the cold I can handle that as long as we don't have tons of snow here and have to try to shovel our way out of it. And that's when it's 20 below zero wind chill, that's when she's cold and you can really feel it in your bones. But anyway, I have to say something to Scott. He said that prayer. It was a beautiful prayer, and I say a big amen to that. And we're talking about, like, pedophilia, all this stuff, all these horrible things going on in our country. And that's a lot of that because we have gotten rid of God. And when they get rid of God, they start going into satanic worship and worship that, you know, I mean, they go into stuff that is, they start believing in everything else. Let's just put it this way. They stop their belief in God. They start believing in everything else. They probably believe in black magic, and they probably hold seances and all that stuff. It just and you can see society crumbling. I can see that. This is one thing I'm also excited about Donald Trump. I believe that he will restore our religious rights. I know Obama did everything he could to destroy that. You know, he did everything he could by. Like I said, if a cake maker refused to bake a cake for a gay couple because that was against their religious beliefs, they got sued out of business. See, and they have every right to refuse because of their religious belief. But they're twisting and turning this Constitution upside down, inside out, and doing everything they can to run it through the paper shredder, you know. But I feel optimistic. I really do now. I mean, when I woke up, well, actually, before I went to bed, I really didn't sleep that night, you know. I stayed up until I pretty much confirmed that Donald Trump won. So, we had, you know, and I do feel, I'm not, like I said, he's not going to be perfect for everybody. He might have some, he's going to do things I'm probably going to disagree with. But I think in general, he's going to do pretty much, you know, probably 95-98% things that we're going to agree with. He's going to protect our constitutional rights and our right to worship. You know, I mean, we're not pushing it in anybody's face either, because that's not what we're trying to do. But we also don't want it removed from us, or we get in trouble or get sued or get kicked out of a certain place because we say a prayer, you know. I mean, the thing is, like with schools, you try to say a prayer in school, they kick you out of school. I mean, it's about as bad as carrying a gun in school. I mean, they think that prayer is dangerous, however it is, but I don't see how it can be dangerous. If it offends somebody, too bad. It offends some people. Some of the stuff they do on the left really offends me, but they just shove it in their face anyway, you know. So that's the thing. When the left has that agenda, they can offend anybody they want, but if we say a prayer and it offends one person, well, we got to be shut down. That's just the way they operate, you know. And one thing, too, I have to mention, too, when this election happened, you know, I've seen so many people that when Trump won, they acted like three-year-olds. They threw tantrums. One person took a baseball bat and smashed up his TV set, just actually smashed up his room, banged up his TV set and smashed a whole bunch of things in his room. Like a three-year-old, you know, they throw a tantrum. Expect it from a three-year-old, but when you see a 25-year-old adult doing that, and it's a little alarming. Other ones are crying and they're saying, we're all going to die, you know, like they're going to die. Nobody's going to die, you know. But they say that, they're scared. And I think a lot of it, the left-wing media is to blame for much of that. And, of course, many of your liberals, your far-left liberals, and mostly the Democrat Party is really to blame for that, too, because they scare people, they divide people, you know. And I still remember them, you know, they saying, if you vote Republican, your mom's going to have to eat dog food, you know, have to buy a can opener, you know, and make a choice between dog food and health care, you know. And that scares people, you know. That's one of the reasons, that's a big lie, but it scares people, and then they vote for them, you know. And then, of course, that isn't going to happen anyway, you know. They just want to be elected. They want to be in power. They're like big babies themselves, some of these members of Congress. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about the country. They care about them. You know, very self-centered, arrogant people, you know. And the one thing, Donald Trump is not going to be bought off, and he's going to put the country, I really believe this in my heart, he's going to put the country above himself, and that's the way any good president would act, is he's going to put the country above himself. And with that, I'm going to pass this over to Dan.
I agree with you, Gary. Trump has no reason to be president other than for the right reasons. And we haven't seen that for a very, very long time. Probably since Rankin. I mean, we have seen so many, well, John Adams, too. So, it's, everybody has wanted something, you know, out of it. Beyond our founding fathers and Abraham Lincoln, all these people have been into it for themselves, for the benefit of the, whether it's the power or money or whatever. And that's what led to this, all this crazy stuff that's going on with Pizzagate. And, you know, if you look back, oh, God, they were showing that in these, during the late Nixon administration, they had that one place of worship Central California, where they were having all sorts of satanic kinds of ceremonies, and they wore all the weird stuff, and they were praying to some owl. And we got all sorts of symbology that leads us to believe that there's stuff going on that we probably don't want, well, we do want to know about it so we can stop it. Because there's a bunch of perverts out there. We know Clinton has been to that pedophile island owned by that nutcase. Lord knows what Soros is doing. As far as I'm concerned, he should be banned from the United States and all of everything he's doing. You know, his money should be kept offshore. We don't need that kind of money. And they should take him out of the lives of our country, because it's damaging it. And as you both said, you know, it's time when they're going to drain that swamp. There's going to be a lot of skeletons on the bottom in that mire. I'll tell you that one. Stuff that probably we never even dreamed about. I mean, I knew there was corruption in Washington, but I didn't know how deep it ran. And WikiLeaks probably just scraped off the top 8 inches of the muck. And we're about to see stuff that we never wanted to see. And all we have to do now is pray for the safety of President Trump, because there are going to be a lot of people who are out for him. And he's not going to have a friend anywhere. So, you know, that's very, very scary. And he's going to have everything checked. I mean, I hate to say it, I'd even bring a food tester. I mean, I don't trust anybody. And Washington, those in Washington have earned that distrust. They have done everything they can to hurt us. And we've been fighting the fight for many, many years. And we have seen, you know, Jennifer, you've seen it. Scott, you've seen it. I've seen it. It's just horrible. And you get so angry, and it just makes you double down on your efforts to try to clean things out. And, of course, I'm doing the same here. I just yelled at our governor, and I'm always yelling at my congressman, which is nothing new. And, of course, I have to, can't leave out good old Marco, so I'm screaming at him. And I'm doing my rounds, and, of course, I do the same thing on the local basis, and they may not like me, but you know, something I speak, what I speak, and if people don't like it, that's their problem. You know something? That's what the beauty of freedom of speech is that I can stand up against anybody, and if I don't like the way something's going in our country, I can go out there and I can say it. And if I say it enough, you know something? People will start backing you. People start supporting you. And that's the whole key behind a republic. Listening to each other and helping the country for the better, not trying to tear it down like we've seen the socialist movement been doing to us over the past 20 years. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Jennifer.
Yeah. We got to see this through. You know, people have already, that were never Trumpsters to begin with, have already been critiquing him and trying to say that, you know, he's not doing what he said he was going to do. And he hasn't even been through the ceremony yet on the 20th of January. And everybody's already, you know, saying, oh, no, you know, things have got to change. We know that it's not going to change overnight. But I will tell you, you would think it would take a while, but we're starting to see the effects. I know I keep bringing up the stock market, but hey, that's a good thing. I've been following, you know, especially when you look at what's going on with small business. I saw something earlier today of 2011 when Trump went into one of his hotels and rolled up his sleeves and decided to try to learn what other people are doing, learn how to do their job, you know. And I mean, what have we seen with the last 8 years of what's gotten worse? Chicago's gotten worse. That was our divider in chief's, you know, hometown. People are starting to wake up. They're seeing that things have not gotten any better. And so what have they got to lose? You know? And, I mean, we're seeing the influx of what's going on in the borders. How many people are losing their jobs because of illegal immigration? I got a friend of mine who's in the, he's a veteran, and is supposed to have been getting 100% back pay from April of this year. Still waiting on it. You know, the side effects of you know, what's gone downhill with our military for the last 8 years, and you know, how many more people are we going to, veterans are we going to roll under the bus? And given all these free education to illegal immigrants, you know, we've got our own people that are, we were talking the other day, if you're from another country and you come in here and you open up a business for the first 5 years, there are so many perks and things that you get. But yet our own military, our veterans are being rolled under the bus on a regular basis. And that should not be the case. Should not be the case. You want to burn our flag? Don't do it here in the United States. You probably, if you're thinking about burning the flag, you probably don't have somebody that you have had to lay to rest that served this country. It's a travesty to see things the way they're going. But we're starting to see things looking up. Just don't, you know, keep your head on swivel, as they say, and look around you. As we get closer to the 20th of January. We know that things are, more events are going to take place, things that are going to be, you know, crazy. Because they just don't want to have their dirty little secrets exposed. And with that, Dan, what do you got to say?
No, I agree with you, Jennifer. I mean, as it gets closer and closer, it's going to get scarier. I mean, we've just seen the icing on the cake right now. And it's going to get scary because these people are going to stop at nothing. And that's why I pray for Donald Trump's safety, because I know his heart's in the right place and he's going to do what is right for our country. And that's what's important. And he has the support of all of us. And, oh, Lord knows what will happen if anything happens to him. I don't even want to think about it. And but, you know, as you said, there's got to be a lot of muck down there and things we don't even want to see. It's scary, and it's going to be, Donald Trump's going to have a lot of work cut out for him, but he's a workaholic, and one of the things we need for small businesses, we need to get rid of Dodd-Frank, because that prohibits, Dodd-Frank is what's prohibiting the small banks from supporting venture capital and these startups. And the small banks are really the backbone of our economy. And we got to get rid of this idea that it's only the big banks who are more out for themselves than they are for the people. And that's why I want this deregulation on that too, so that banks can start doing business in their own states. And this is where the 10th Amendment really kind of comes in too, that we should not be controlled by an outside source. And that includes large banks. They shouldn't have the right to control us. And we should give everybody an even playing field. So somebody can go down to, some local bank and take out a loan to start a new business. And then know that he's going to get the support that he needs. And it's only a few miles away. And that's real, in rural America, that's the big thing. So we need to really push for the elimination of Dodd-Frank that happened during the good old, guess who, Clinton administration. But Gary, I wanted to ask you about the protesters in the northern part of your state who are trying to stop the pipeline from coming in. What's going to be happening to them in a few days when the temperature gets down?
It's probably get snowed out and it'll get froze out. But I don't know how many arrests they had. I talked to a police chief, a couple of weeks ago, and it was every day there's been arrests and stuff. So, I'm sure it's going to probably be ended pretty soon, because they just aren't going to be able to tolerate that cold, I don't know a lot any more than that.